Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Alan Lee, and welcome to episode 12 of The Vampire Squid. I have on a very special guest with me today, Sean Mara. I've actually known Sean since our junior summer internship at Goldman together. And we actually roomed in the same room in New York for the first week of training for our internship. So thanks for coming on the show, Sean.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Alan. Excited to be here and talk a little bit about my experience at Silver Lake Partners and the private equity and investment group there.
Cool. And as always, if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to visit my website, thevampiresquid.com, and go to the contact tab. And you can always email me at Alan, A-L-A-N, at thevampiresquid.com. And also, I'm on Facebook too, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. Okay, great. So, before we dive into, your background and your role at Silver Lake, could you, give a quick overview of, who you are, where you grew up, went to school, et cetera, all the good stuff?
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally from Los Angeles, born and brought up there. I am a complete science nerd. I went to school at UPenn in Philadelphia, studied bioengineering and management at Wharton there. Did a couple internships, cancer research, then biotech firm Amgen, then, as you mentioned, worked with you at Goldman in the investment banking group, and now just completed 2 years in the analyst program at Silver Lake Partners in Menlo Park, California.
What'd you do for fun when you're growing up in LA?
Probably most memorable was being part of a science competition, National Science Bowl. Kind of a fast-paced Jeopardy-style team competition, answering science and math questions. Had the opportunity to go out to DC 2 years in a row and, kind of invested my life into that for the years in high school. So nice. Definitely look back on that positively.
And I remember you were part of a dance group in college too.
Yeah, that's right. At Penn, I was part of Penn Musty, co-ed South Asian fusion dance group. Spent a lot of time on that and made a lot of lifelong friendships out of it. Don't really have a chance to dance too much today, given the hours, but, definitely try to when I get a chance, family weddings and all that.
Cool. Very cool. Okay. So before we go into, private equity and Silver Lake, just want to quickly reflect on, our summer at Goldman. What did you think about it? What was your overall impression?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, overall, it was, at least reflecting on it today, it was a positive experience. It was short, just 10 weeks, but we definitely worked a lot, probably some 1,000-odd hours over that time. I remember, working with a lot of really strong mentors. I felt good about sort of the diversity in the group and felt connected with a lot of the people that we worked with in our analyst class and also some of the full times.
Great. Yeah. And I know Sean worked quite a bit. You were there quite late. I think probably, one of the last ones leave throughout the entire summer. But did you feel like you learned any skills there that were applicable to, what you did at Silver Lake and private equity? I know, people usually think of it, banking and private equity, as sort of similar. There's obviously, major differences. But, what were some of the things that you learned that were helpful in your private equity role?
Yeah, I think, obviously they're the soft skills, just kind of learning how to work with different personalities, learning or obviously, maintaining a strong work ethic, things of that nature. But on the more hard skill side, obviously becoming familiar with the M&A process and the deal process and sort of all of the different players in the ecosystem and the different steps taken in terms of, buying a business or selling a business. I thought that was, very helpful and relevant. And in addition, learning the PowerPoint skills and the Excel skills and, that obviously comes into play a lot in private equity. And so definitely was helpful to have the Goldman experience beforehand.
No, that's good to hear. And, just one major thing that I remember from our summer, I think, was it the 9th or 10th week, the last couple of weeks of our internship, we finally got some downtime to go out and, Sean and I with another one of our colleagues went to this bar/lounge club. And Sean, you want to take it from here?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, one of the few times we had a chance to get out of the office and mind you, it was midnight on a Saturday. We went to some club in San Francisco and tried to get in for a few hours before they closed at 1:30 or whatever. But we were denied access at the door because I was wearing Nike shoes. And the bouncer insisted that I needed to go home and change my shoes. And I mean, by the time I did that, there wouldn't have been any time left in the night. So it was a little bit of a buzzkill. So I don't know whether we went back to the office and did more work or what we ended up doing. I forget. But it was definitely a memorable one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, do you still wear Nikes after that or what?
Definitely not on Saturday nights when I'm trying to go to a bar.
That's good to know. Cool. So let's dive into Silver Lake and private equity. So for those that don't know exactly what private equity is and what Silver Lake is, could you tell us, you know, what does Silver Lake do and what your role was at Silver Lake?
Yeah, sure. So Silver Lake Partners, in particular, is the large cap private equity, technology private equity fund. It's the current fund, Silver Lake 4, is $10.3 billion. The firm has, say, $26 billion of committed capital right now, investing across the TMT ecosystem. For those who are not familiar with the firm, it was behind the two largest technology M&A deals of 2015. And actually of all time, for that matter, one being the Dell EMC deal and the other being the Avago Broadcom semiconductor deal. So definitely been very active in the space and was an exciting time to be in the analyst program there.
And so you were a private equity analyst, and that was straight out of college, right?
That's right.
Okay. And what's the, you know, high level overview of the analyst program?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a unique opportunity for those coming out of undergrad to, you know, start right out in private equity and skip over the traditional 2 years of banking. You know, an analyst in my mind is very similar in function to an associate in terms of, you know, you're running financial models for your deals, you're you know, running with various portfolio company responsibilities, helping, you know, the rest of the team, principals, directors, partners, with odds and ends in terms of tasks that need to be completed for deal processes. And so definitely a very great experience to start off with, and definitely took a lot away in terms of learning experiences.
And, you know, how did you get the job at Silver Lake? What was your interview process like?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, lucky enough to be in contact with Silver Lake and kind of lock in the full-time analyst position there shortly after the summer at Goldman. You know, I think they were sort of reaching out to summer interns at various banks and on the West Coast looking to fill another position in their Menlo office. And was lucky enough to interview with them, go for a super day. Sort of first round interview consisted of speaking with investment professionals there on a high level, and then went in for a longer sort of case study leverage buyout model.
Got it. And you know, so yeah, what do you do on a day-to-day basis? And you know, feel free to get nuanced or granular here. Like, you know, what do you do when you wake up to when you leave the offices at Silver Lake?
Yeah, that, you know, a quick answer is no day is the same as you'd probably expect. And first thing you do when you wake up, check your email. See,
you know, use BlackBerries.
Fortunately, no BlackBerries kind of poured into your preferred smartphone. But see what happened overnight or earlier in the morning before you woke up, get into the office and kind of deal with any outstanding asks, whether it's, you know, hey, can you put together a quick clean Excel for me on this, you know, various calculations, or hey, can you send me those slides that you worked on and like update, you know, price update the outputs, or you know, can you get started on this model for me, or address emails from vendors or your portfolio company management, or you know, starting the day with various high priority tasks.
Sure.
And then throughout, I mean, I'd probably say a good chunk of time is spent in PowerPoint creating investment committee decks or decks to brief the internal team on, you know, a deal that you're pitching to the firm. As I mentioned, working on a lot of financial models for various various needs, and a lot of time spent in Outlook addressing various emails from the internal team and externally as well.
Got it. Yeah. No. I did an episode earlier on, and I think probably Outlook is the most used application for finance professionals.
Yeah, it's Outlook and the Mail app on evenings and weekends. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sounds very interesting, and it sounds similar to an investment banking role. Like, what would you say is the major differences that you had? Because, I mean, you've had both experiences, and I'm sure the listeners are pretty interested in hearing what your thoughts are on the major differences.
Yeah, look, I think there's certainly a lot of overlap with the sort of experience of an investment banking analyst for a private equity analyst position. What I would say is that I felt that it was a little bit, you call it 60% investment banking, 30% consulting, and then 10%, you know, unique to investing. And how I'd break that down is on the investment banking side, you're doing financial modeling, you're, you know, making PowerPoint slides on various companies, et cetera. On the consulting side, you're also thinking about, you know, when you're helping inform an assessment on a company that you're thinking about investing in, you also have to think about the qualitative aspects, the strategic aspects. And, you know, that I think is unique relative to banking. And further on the investing side, you're trying to come up with an investment thesis or as a team. And that's something that you probably don't see in banking as much. It's more so, you know, you're selling a deal to a client. Whereas in private equity, you're trying to come up with, do we want to do this deal as a firm or do we want to turn it down?
Yeah, that's helpful because... Yeah, on the private equity side, it seems like since you guys are the ones actually buying the company, the diligence process, the review process is a little bit more in depth than, you know, what you'd probably find on the banking side since you're just on the advisory services. But for you guys, you're, you know, actually buying the company, right?
That's right. I'd say that the approach is pretty scientific in general. You know, as a firm, you are hopefully trying to come up or as close as possible to the correct answer. You know, you want to be well informed before making an investment decision.
Okay, interesting. You know, are you able to talk through sort of your guys' investment thought process? You know, how you guys look at deals, and you know, what are some of the things that you look for when evaluating a potential deal?
Yeah, look, I think beyond the traditional, you know, looking for a good buyout candidate that has strong cash flows and, you know, good management team and high quality business and all that at a good price. You know, we're looking for areas where Silver Lake in particular can add value, whether that's in terms of helping management with various strategic initiatives, et cetera. I'd also add that, you know, Silver Lake, I'd say has done a good job in the last couple of years in terms of getting creative with the type of deals that we do. You know, outside of the bread and butter of private equity, the leveraged buyout deal, we've also done a number of private investments in public entities or PIPEs, especially with, you know, convertible securities. We've done a number of pre-IPO minority investments, acquisition finance, where we partner with the management team to, you know, buy a target company. And so I think that Silver Lake's been pretty successful with that.
Really cool. You know, what do you think is your biggest takeaway since you've done your 2-year analyst program at Silver Lake?
I think, you know, to me, one of the most valuable aspects of having done the analyst program at Silver Lake as opposed to an investment banking experience has been developing an investment mindset by kind of following the investment committee processes and listening to how the partners and the rest of the team think about various investments, and then being able to you know, think about an investment thesis on my own as well. And so going forward, be able to carry that into, you know, the next role, I think that's very valuable.
And your next role is with a VC firm. So, you know, what were some of the thoughts about, you know, transitioning to VC? And I think you're focusing on the healthcare space. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm joining a healthcare venture capital firm called Longitude Capital. I'll be on the medical device team there. Reasons for that, you know, as I mentioned, I have a bioengineering background. I'm very passionate about healthcare, biology, science, and so I'm excited to get into that industry. And then two, in terms of venture capital, I feel that the style of investing, it's obviously very different. And one of the key differences is that with earlier stage companies, it's important to understand the technology, understand the products, and get a little bit more technical. That to me is going to be valuable in terms of going back to the science and the, you know, technology underpinnings of the companies we're investing in. Whereas in private equity, the investing style can be very focused on financial engineering. You're looking at companies thinking about, you know, how much can you lever them up? How much cost savings can you achieve, etc. And oftentimes thinking about the technology or product can be a little bit of an afterthought.
Got it. Yeah, I remember even in our summer at Goldman, you were focused or you wanted to be siloed in the healthcare space. So, you know, congrats on the new role.
Thank you.
I know that there's probably a lot of listeners that are really interested in breaking into private equity and would love to hear your thoughts on, you know, any advice and any tips that you have for college students or investment banking analysts looking to break into the private equity sector.
Yeah, look, I'd say it's important to be able to demonstrate understanding of developing your own investment thesis. It's important to understand, you know, the basics of LBOs and also all of the standard investment banking skill set before, you know, looking at private equity interviews. Obviously, the standard route is to complete 2 years of banking and then transition into a private equity associate role. But thinking from the analyst perspective, for the private equity firms that do have small programs, it's important to get in contact with, you know, people at the firms that you're interested in early and ask questions, do an informational interview, attend any informational sessions that, you know, might be happening in San Francisco or New York or elsewhere. It's tough in that most of these private equity firms don't have more than one or two spots per year. So certainly don't be discouraged if a private equity firm encourages you to apply again after a year or two of banking, because there are certainly a lot more associate positions, and that's also a great way to get into the industry as well.
Cool. That was very helpful, and you know, understand a little bit more about the private equity space, you know, how to get in your day to day. So, I mean, remaining, I just have a few fun questions for you too, sort of shotgun, but you know, let me know what you think. So, what is your favorite book that you've read, and why?
Yeah, sure. I'd have to say it's most probably Give and Take by Adam Grant. It's a book starting to define a new definition of success. And that's sort of a success that involves helping others, both through career or personal aspirations. And I think, and well, that goes a little bit against our traditional definition of success. But I'd say that book was very important in helping me think about, you know, how I'd want to be as a manager when I eventually get there, and sort of challenge some of the more traditional views that we have in business today. And so definitely a very valuable book that explores a lot of different examples of givers and takers and matchers, and was very valuable for me when I read it a couple of years ago.
Got it. So the premise of the book is that, you know, to be successful, you have to sort of give back to society. Is that the theme?
Yeah, there are a lot of caveats to that. I mean, there are givers who give back to society, as you mentioned, but can burn out very quickly. So I think that an important element of that is also keeping in mind what's important to you. And as Adam describes it, it's about being otherish as opposed to being selfish. So there's an element of self-interest as well, but certainly very different from our standard notion of give and take.
Got it. What is your favorite restaurant in the city? For you in San Francisco?
Yeah, there are a lot of great restaurants in San Francisco. I'd say that my favorite is more of a, you know, family favorite in Nob Hill Cafe. It's sort of a smaller restaurant, not that many seats. You can't make a reservation.
Hole in the wall.
I didn't want to say that, but close to it. They have a really good chicken parm, which I pretty much order every time. A lot of great desserts, and definitely a favorite spot for me.
Cool. I'll have to check that one out. I haven't been there before. How do you stay motivated? You know, what drives you to, you know, do all the things that you do?
Really good question. Yeah. Look, I think number one is having a lot of role models in my family and friend groups, and kind of looking up to them and seeing the dedication and hard work that they've put into their careers and wanting to do the same for myself. Secondarily, I think I'm very interested in the subject matter that I'm going to be pursuing in the healthcare field. And I think, you know, helping people and helping improve society is an important part of what drives me as well. And so excited to get started with that as well.
Okay. So that's my fun questions for today. Is there anything that you wanted to, you know, leave the listeners with? Any thoughts or any advice that you want to pass along before, you know, we wrap up?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to be available for any questions that listeners might have. You can certainly follow my LinkedIn, Shaun Mehra. It's S-H-A-U-N-M-E-H-R-A.
Cool. I'll post it in the show notes.
Perfect.
And final question. So obviously, you know, this podcast's goal is to, you know, increase transparency in finance. You know, how do you think about that? How do you think we can better, you know, make resources available or increase transparency?
Yeah, Alan, I think, you know, pursuits like this one with the Vampire Squid podcast certainly, you know, does a good job to that end. And I think you know, our generation, the millennial generation, is doing a good job in terms of making more resources and information available about the sort of the finance roles out there. And so, you know, kind of continuing with this and getting a lot more people to interview and get more information about their experiences will help our listeners.
Cool. I will do my best. But Sean, thanks for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for making the time. I had a great time.
Cool. As always, guys, if you have any questions or comments, suggestions, please feel free to visit my website, thevampiresquid.com. You can email me personally at alan@thevampiresquid.com. And feel free to follow me on Facebook and Quora. And I will post Sean's LinkedIn in the show notes in case you guys have any follow-up questions for him as well. Until next time, thanks again. Ciao.